whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, can the Texans flip the switch offensively for this game on Saturday? Here was Bobby Slowick yesterday on the offense heading into Saturday's wild card round game against the Chargers.
I don't necessarily think for us the way we approach it is you're really flipping a switch. Like, naturally, you get to the playoffs and everyone's season's on the line. I'm sure everyone's talked about it. There's just a different speed to the game. There's a different physicality to the game. There's a different intensity to the game. Like, you can't avoid that. And, you know, we know we've had some ups and some downs on offense this year, and there's been a lot of really evolving as an entire group. And I would say, like, the last 3 weeks in particular, We've really honed in on what we think we need to do in both areas, the run and the pass game, really all the way across the board that we think fits us as a group and who we have out there and our identity as a team that we can really press forward with. But then that takes time to even grow into that, you know. And as we work through some things, even the last 3 weeks, our emphasis beyond that was we got to do everything we can to start to get hot. And that's really all it takes is if you get hot as an offense, especially around this time of year, that's a really good thing for your team and your organization. And I would say probably this year, generally, like I think last year we probably had a few hot streaks in there. I feel like this year we didn't have as many hot streaks and strides that we hit for multiple games as an offense this year. And that's really been our intent. Like, how on the details can we be as we go through every single one of these practices and weeks so that we can kind of start a spark?
Go ahead, Seth.
Well, no, I agree with a lot of what he said there.
Yeah.
I guess it just comes down to, like, to what degree do I agree with him? Because I think that there's also the element of, okay, you got a different O-line in there now. Titus has been a guard for a few weeks now, to where you start to can feel like, okay, maybe we can do inside zone more than we thought, all that. But the question is really like, okay, but can we do it versus good defenses down in the red zone? That's the hard part. You can get better at it, but still, man, to really mash the ball, which they were unable to do in the goal line area last week, but also versus a couple of real stud interior defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an avenue, and there is a little bit of a sliver of like, all right, you know what? I think we can lean into some things more than we used to. I'm skeptical that it's going to be a huge leap all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, he cited there the hot streaks, right? And we're talking about, you know, from our perspective, we're talking about what are the people's faith, the fans, media, their faith in what Bobby Slowick is talking about, the possibility of happening. And I would submit where he said we've had fewer hot streaks this year. I would submit the reason why people are pessimistic right now is you've had no hot streaks this year.
Yeah.
The offense has scored more than 30 points one time all year. I know they scored 30 in Dallas, but 7 of that was Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
The offense has scored more than 30 points one time this year, and it was against the New England Patriots, who were one of the worst teams in football. Last year, he's absolutely right. They did have, like, they had pockets in the beginning and the middle and the end of the season where you go, okay, well, we're fine. Like, yeah, like, that team last year wasn't perfect offensively by any means.
You just got to figure out how to bottle some of this stuff up. That was the reason for the hope in the offseason was, all right, look, this is what they did in year one.
Yes.
If you can build on that, then here you go. You're off to the races.
Weeks 3 and 4, they score the offense scores 30 against Jacksonville and 30 against Pittsburgh.
Last year.
Yeah. Weeks 9 and 10, they had the big game against Tampa Bay in week 9, and then they go to Cincinnati and score 30 in week 10.
CJ threw for over 500 yards versus Tampa.
In the Tampa game, yeah. I mean, and there were offensive fireworks in those games, and they ran the ball in those games, too. Mm-hmm. At least in the Cincinnati game they did. I think Devin Singletary was player of the week in that Cincinnati game. And then at the end of the year, they beat Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Cleveland in games where the offense wasn't 30 points level. I mean, in Tennessee, they scored 20 against Tennessee. They scored 26. They scored 23 against Indy. But that was a game where Nico went off and had almost 200 yards. And then the offense scored 31 against Cleveland. They had the two pick sixes to kind of pile on. My point being, like, last year going into the playoffs, I felt good about the offense because we'd seen it spread out throughout the year and with different combinations of guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tank was a big part of it early. Well, he was gone by the end of the year. They were still moving the football at the end of the year. This year, I got nothing to hang my hat on.
Not on the offense. I got a 41-point output
against the crappy Patriots.
Yeah, the tough part of it, too, is whatever the hell's going on with Kyahmi Lassiter. And Kyahmi Fairbairn.
Lately.
As of late. Like, at the beginning of the season, I was like, he might be too good because they're too comfortable settling for 65-yard field goals.
Just kick a 73-yard field goal. We'll be fine.
False start, no problem. I'll kick a 61-yarder. Here we go.
Yep.
That's fallen apart a little bit as of late. But the one thing you can hang your hat on in terms of real hope versus the better teams, versus the playoff teams, is that, man, the defense is capable of creating just droves of turnovers. It's hard to rely on that every single week versus good playoff teams in a playoff run.
Yeah.
It's just like at some point, kind of like in baseball, and your bats, no matter how awesome your offense is, your bats are going to go dry. This is the opposite, and we're talking about the defense, but you're not going to feast on turnovers every single week against good offenses.
Well, it's funny you bring up baseball, because what Bobby was saying about the offense there, when he's like, you know, just you got to catch a hot streak here in the postseason. I'm like, yeah. But think about if a baseball team was. Think about if a baseball team that was batting like 239 all year.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Texans are. The Texans are a bottom. This version of the Texans offense, the one that we've watched for the second half to the back third of the season, is a easily bottom half, if not bottom third of the league offense. And that would be like a. That'd be like a baseball team heading into the playoffs that was very pitching centric.
Yeah.
Same way the Texans are very defensive centric.
All we need is guys to match.
I know our OPS as a team is 704.
Yeah.
But if we can just hit that hot streak.
But this is the difference. I'm not being the analogy police on you. Like the good difference is that in baseball it's a five or a seven game series.
Yeah.
And that's where those things
even out.
It's a lot harder to fake it for five or seven games.
Yes.
And yeah, that's why football is as exciting as it is in a lot of ways.
It's
because like the inferior team sometimes wins, or the inferior offense sometimes can go on a hot streak. You go about, I mean, like Joe Flacco in the playoffs. I guess is that what we'd have to hang our best hopes offensively, is that if CJ can basically, I think who CJ, he has very much the potential to be a better overall quarterback than Joe Flacco. Yeah. But Joe Flacco played out of his brain the year they won the Super Bowl.
I tend to think it's more, somebody made this analogy on my podcast, in the mailbag on the Utopia Football podcast. Flacco's a good one, but Flacco played at a monster level that postseason. Eli, the year they beat the Patriots the first time, was very good that postseason, but he's the MVP of the Super Bowl, but that was largely because he was the quarterback of the team that beat the Patriots. That team was built similarly to the Texans, and their pass rush was what was going to win stuff.
And it was. They played a hyper-aggressive style of defensive line play. They got upfield, they penetrated, they did all those things, and yeah, they were kind of the fuel for that team.
So to answer your question, I think there's a better chance that CJ looks more like Eli in that postseason than looks like Flacco. Flacco was 11 touchdowns and no interceptions that postseason.
Yeah.
Like, he was crazy good. I don't know that this and I think CJ himself has that in him. I don't know that this offense has the support system around him to go on a Flacco-like run, but I think there's enough there to do what the Giants did back when they were the 4 seed also. Like, they were the worst. They were either a wild card team or they were the worst of the division winners. So yeah, so maybe. Caserio, you asked Caserio about this yesterday on the show. We had Nick Caserio
on
the Payne and Pendergast show. It's a good show. I check it out a lot. You asked him, why have there been execution issues on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, and it's never one thing said, and I'm not trying to like be ambiguous here, jump around, but I would say sometimes it's defensively, like they have a call that matches up with your call and, you know, puts you in a disadvantageous position, or decision-making, instead of throwing a ball away, you know, maybe you try to do something more than there is. So it's never one thing. Usually goes back to the fundamentals. Are we getting the blockers distributed in the proper way? Are we making the right decisions? Are we taking care of the football? Is the route depth the right? Are Are you in the right spot? Did you have an ME on the play? So it's never one thing. So it's always probably two or three different things. And at times we've been able to get the ball in the end zone down the red area. And other times we haven't. We had some opportunities, even going back to the Tennessee game. We got the ball in the red area there on a first drive, scored a couple touchdowns in the beginning, got stopped there in some other situations, missed a throw, could have done something a little bit better. So it always goes back to basic fundamental execution. And sometimes the defense does better than the offense and vice versa. And that's part of the cat and mouse game, you know, when you're playing.
I guess the big thing about that is that everything he described, I think, is things that I was thinking about. And yes, there are some times where, like, just by luck of the draw, it's the wrong call versus that defense. And like, that happens to every single offensive coordinator. So I guess it's a matter of frequency with which it happens. And with the players, with their lack of execution. I mean, there's something to be said for, man, if you can just, every now and then, like, blunt force trauma is the best course of action.
Yeah.
And you can get away with your technique failing a little bit, or maybe the imperfect play call, if you can just go out and just physically beat people. And that's what I'm torn with right now on this offense, is it's so hard to talk about one position group and why it's not working out without also, like, either making excuses for them or an explanation that involves another position group playing mm-hmm. poorly. It's across the board to the point where it feels like you've built this offense on a foundation of sand, and it's just really hard to lean into anything too hard because you can't get the proper execution across all 11 guys. I will go back and say that there's some things on the offensive line that I do think they've improved over the course of the season. A lot of the really egregious communication errors and everything like that, that got cleaned up midway through the season, kind of coincided with Patterson playing center. And then I think with Titus at guard, they've got enough of a sample size now that they can start to feel like, okay, you know what? Laramie and Titus work well together in this regard. Maybe we can run some more power and inside zone concepts than we could before. So there's something there. It's just like it's all that stuff that it's like when you show up for a test and you're like, I really wish I'd studied for this.
We're in the finals now. We're finals now. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like if you and I were having this conversation, we had just talked to Nick yesterday and it was week three, then I'd be like what you're just saying now about, well, you know, maybe we got something here with Titus playing left guard or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, okay, and they got 14 weeks to figure it out. They play the Chargers in 2 days, and it's win or go home. And that'll be where it gets interesting to me, because I am firmly somebody that's like, this offense is what it is right now. I don't think a switch is getting flipped.
Yeah.
I don't think they're catching a hot streak here offensively. We're hoping
that Deontay Johnson shows up as the best version of himself.
That's where we are.
It's hero ball.
Yeah.
Right? That's it's more realistic to hope for hero ball. And then it is that, oh, like all of a sudden they're going to go out there and look like a finely tuned machine.
Totally, totally. And so that's why I think what Nick said is really interesting, because the offseason is when we're going to get the answers as to what it was the most.
Yeah.
What it was the most. Like where he started in going, hey, man, sometimes they have a call that's the perfect call for you. Well, that sure does happen a lot against the Texans. You know, like there is a reason why certain guys win at poker every year and certain guys lose at poker every year in the World Series of Poker. Bobby Sloak is not a very good poker player right now. And so is it Bobby Sloak? Is it that? The MEs, the mental errors is what ME stands for. You know, like, we'll find out who the guys are that have been making more of those than anybody else possibly in the offseason if they move on from certain
guys. Right, and, you know, I go back to various times with the Texans through different coaches, Kubiak or O'Brien or anybody else. There's times where you can just tell, all right, the offensive line, they're not dumb guys, but for some reason they're not comfortable and confident in what they're supposed to be doing on the play.
Yeah.
And that's gotten better, like we talked about earlier with Laramie and Titus. But it's not at the level where you want it to be. But that does go back to, all right, what is it? Are these guys just not good, or is the message not clear enough? Like, I don't care about which specific play is being called. When guys look like they don't know who they're supposed to block, that's a problem. When it happens frequently. As far as Bobby Sloak, in Jonathan and Alexander's mailbag yesterday, somebody had asked him about Bobby Sloak, and I think Jonathan was probably correct when he said that he doesn't think that the Texans have made a decision on that.
I would agree with that.
Which could mean that they are definitely going to consider making a change, but I think both D'Amico and Nick are very much true to their word, I think, when they want to focus on what's in front of them. and then they'll figure that stuff out after the season. They'll kind of sit down in a room for 2 days and figure all these issues out.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Kind of like Jerry Jones is doing with Mike McCarthy. Yeah, Jerry's looking for the answer in a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
That'll work itself out. Hey, gear up for the playoffs at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Thanks to our friends at Academy for getting us ready for this weekend with our Ready to Roll Division Championship playoff t-shirts and Division Championship hats. You can get yours at your local Academy Sports and Outdoors before this weekend. Headlines up next. We got the injury report for the Texans. A little hardware for one Houston Texan.
Whoa.
We got an Astros contract signing. We've got news on the NFL playoffs.
Mm.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to, and we'll do that coming up next.